There's no question in my mind that the people of California don't want homosexuals teaching in their classrooms. As a matter of fact, they don't even want homosexuals living near them if they know about them.
State Senator John Briggs has just conceded the...
Both Mayor Moscone and Supervisor Harvey Milk have been shot and killed.
Welcome to the 1600th edition of This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. I'm Lucia Chappell. Our news wrap crew took some time off to enjoy the U.S. Thanksgiving holiday, but there are two breaking stories we don't want to let wait. In Bermuda, the Court of Appeal restored marriage equality in a much-anticipated ruling on November 23rd. Foreign judges were convened to hear the Caribbean islands government challenge the most recent marriage equality ruling by the country's Supreme Court. It's been a rights roller coaster that began more than 2 years ago. The government still has 21 days to challenge the latest ruling at the Judicial Committee of the Privy Council. That's the Court of Final Appeal for the UK's overseas territories and crown dependencies. In Taiwan, voters went to the polls on November 24th and overwhelmingly approved referenda to deny civil marriage to same-gender couples and to approve the creation of less-than-equal lesbian and gay civil unions. The marriage referenda results cannot reverse a 2017 ruling by Taiwan's Constitutional Court ordering full marriage equality. That ruling automatically takes effect in May of next year if lawmakers fail to pass a bill by then. If the legislature approves a civil unions bill based on the referendum vote instead, rights advocates would almost certainly return to the Constitutional Court to challenge it as inconsistent with the justice's marriage equality ruling. Taiwanese voters also passed a referendum to ban the inclusion of LGBTQ issues in elementary and middle school curricula. We'll have more on developments in Bermuda and Taiwan when NewsWrap returns next week. This week, we observe the 40th anniversary of the 1978 Queer November to Remember, the first victory by U.S. equality forces over an anti-LGBTQ ballot measure after a wave of defeats, followed less than 3 weeks later by the shocking assassination of one of the country's first openly gay elected officials. Those events did not happen in a vacuum. During the first few years after the 1969 Stonewall Rebellion in New York City, hundreds of gay liberation groups formed across the U.S., and by 1976, some had successfully promoted anti-discrimination ordinances with little resistance. But then along came a former beauty queen and pop singer, whose main gig at the time was pushing Florida orange juice, as This Way Out's Greg Gordon recalls.
January 1977.
In Florida, the Dade County Commission gave its final approval to an ordinance which would prohibit discrimination against gays in the areas of housing, public accommodation, and employment, thus endorsing the concept of social and legal equality for Miami's homophile community. The commission, which had tentatively passed the controversial ordinance when it was first proposed in late December, voted 5-3 in favor after an emotional 2-hour public hearing in which opponents of the measure strongly voiced their objections. Among the opponents was singer Anita Bryant, probably best known for her endorsement of Milk and the singing of hymns. Responding to the commission's pro-gay stand, Ms. Bryant said, "We're not going to take this sitting down."
Oh, come along with me to my little corner of the world and dream a little dream in my
Flanked by a cluster of revivalists and her manager husband, the ever-present Bob Green, Anita kicked off her campaign by brandishing a pro-gay flyer and asserting that it had been distributed in a Coral Gables high school and that gays were recruiting in the schools. Her campaign became increasingly strident, and so did the gay response to it, as a move was made to put the issue on the ballot. But almost everywhere she appeared, she was met by increasingly larger demonstrations. With two polls taken indicating that the anti-Bryant forces might be victorious, gays faced the June 7th referendum in a spirit of false optimism.
This is Bob Basker, Executive Director for the Dade County Coalition for Human Rights. Here is a summary of what's been going on for the period ending May 10th, 1977. Now, our dear orange juice lady opponent has been shooting from the hip again. In an interview in this month's Miami Magazine, she stated that because a Southern California town had passed an ordinance similar to Miami's, God was punishing homosexuality because, as she said, Now California is having the worst drought in history. And the reason why homosexuals are called fruits is because God says that men are trees and the new life is the fruit of the womb. Ex-Air Force Sergeant Leonard Matlovich has joined the coalition. He joined us in April. And Sergeant Matlovich is a native Floridian and a registered voter of Dade County. Rod McEwen was in Miami last week working for the coalition. Mr. McEwen held a benefit concert for the coalition last Tuesday night.
I go to Florida a lot because the weather's always hot. There's pretty girls and pretty boys, as many Jews as there are goys, as many blacks as there are whites, as many days as there are nights, as many straights as there are gays. Yes, they have fun in lots of ways. Ah, but
don't drink the orange juice, I beg you, please. Don't drink the orange juice, I beg you, please. Don't drink the orange juice, I beg you, please.
Might lead to all kinds of bigotries.
The people of Dade County, the normal majority, have said enough, enough, enough.
June 7th was a thunderclap. The polls had erred embarrassingly, as the ordinance was defeated by a better than 2-1 margin. Thousands of gays all over the country and the world were shocked out of their closets. Demonstrations larger than any imaginable before occurred in New York, San Francisco, Norfolk, Houston, New Orleans, Salt Lake City, Chicago, and many other cities where a gay demonstration would before have been unthinkable. Los Angeles was no exception. On Monday night, June 13th, with only a 3-day notice, more than 8,000 people participated in the Hollywood Candlelight Parade.
This is Lucia Chappell. I'm talking to Frank Zerilli, one of the organizers of this demonstration. Frank, how many people do you think are here?
We have no idea, but it's larger than anything we've ever done in Los Angeles before, including the Christopher Street West Parades. It's unbelievable. 12 bars in town have closed, and the owners, many of the owners of them, are here. They're urging their customers to come to the demonstration.
We're getting ready to start. Please be cooperative. And we're starting up this way. Take your time when we get up on the boulevard.
We want a right, not your kid. We want a right, not your kid.
We're on the south side of Hollywood Boulevard. And there's another group on the north side of Hollywood Boulevard. This is quite a large demonstration tonight.
My sign says Turner Burn.
The things that you're liable to read in the Bible, it ain't necessarily so.
Leviticus chapter 20, verse 13.
Human rights are here to stay. Be the praise, go away.
3, 5, 7, 9. Let the ends are mighty pop.
We have reached the Long Quay Park. And there are still marchers waiting to begin at Hollywood High School.
Welcome to the first Los Angeles Gay Anxiety Workshop.
It doesn't look like the park is going to be nearly big enough to hold the number of people.
The events of last Tuesday in Dade County signaled the beginning of a national emergency. Not only for gay people, but for all people who dare to believe that there is still a constitution of the United States. I remember an incident 4 years ago when I was walking through an amusement park holding hands with my lover and was called queer by a child 6 years old, and from that day forward I've been all too aware of who the child molesters in this society are.
Of scripture-quoting saints running around telling me how inferior I am. All my life that I'm inferior, first as a black, then as a woman, and now as a gay woman, and I am fed up.
I'd like to leave it with one final message, Janita, and that's if you can't take the fruit, get out of the orchard.
Don't pray for me.
Don't pray for me,
you proper lady. You'll be the same some kind of road. Get on your knees, you proper lady. You need to live as people
at a Los Angeles press conference, California State Senator John Briggs, currently stumping through the state campaigning for governor, declared that an initiative he is sponsoring for next year's ballot would, in effect, remove all homosexual teachers from California schools.
Early August 1977.
Briggs stated that the initiative would only apply to flagrant public homosexuals who engage in activity likely to come to the attention of school children or other employees.
My bill would allow a school board to hold a hearing and dismiss any homosexual who happens to hold either a teacher's position or a certificated position. The school board, if they were confronted with the problem, could hold a hearing, and once the hearing began, it would have to be concluded, and if the person was found to be a homosexual, that person would automatically be terminated.
Briggs added further that he will sponsor a government program to lead homosexuals out of their way of life.
There's no question in my mind that the people of California don't want homosexuals teaching in their classrooms. As a matter of fact, they don't even want homosexuals living near them if they know about them. I've been in public office for 11 years, and let me just say that I know. The proof of the pie is in the eating, and down in Dade County, Florida, we got an actual vote there, and it was an overwhelming two-thirds. And I suspect that California would probably be closer to three-fourths.
Supervisors and San Francisco was sworn in. The tradition is every supervisor gets up and says a few general words and introduces their family there.
January 1978, Maverick gay politico Harvey Milk is sworn in as a San Francisco supervisor.
The first words out of my mouth, and the national press was there, was, as you know, I am gay. And I said that there's a state law that says gay people cannot legally be married. But there is no state law or law any place in the universe that says two people cannot love each other. And I'd like to introduce my lover.
And Anita Bryant followers faithfully carry her work to other cities. St. Paul, Minnesota enacted its gay rights ordinance in 1974 with little fanfare. But this was April 1978.
The Reverend Richard Angwin and his Citizens Alert for Morality got the referendum on the ballot. They want to repeal the law which guarantees gay rights. Not because of the effect the law has had in its four-year existence, but because of potential problems they foresee, problems of morality. In fact, there has been very little controversy in the implementation of the law. It has been used only 10 times. Donald Lewis, director of St. Paul's Department of Human Rights, maintains that no matter how infrequently the law is used, it is needed, especially as a deterrent against discrimination. The feelings of the voters in St. Paul run the gamut.
He should have human rights just like anybody else. I don't believe in it. I go according to the Bible.
I don't think that anybody's sex life is anyone else's business.
I just don't believe in homosexuals.
For Pacifica, this is Erica Schwartz.
This is Maya for the Fresh Fruit Collective in Minneapolis. We lost the election by a margin that stunned everyone on both sides. Almost a 2-to-1 margin in favor of repeal. At St. Paul Citizens for Human Rights headquarters, the town was quiet. There were 600 people there to watch the returns. There was folk singing, hymn singing, and speeches by leaders of the organization, thanking the religious union and black leaders of the community for their support. Right now, the group of 600 supporters has left the headquarters of St. Paul Citizens for Human Rights and is conducting a quiet sidewalk march through the streets of St. Paul.
On May 1st, less than a week after the gay defeat in St. Paul, Senator John Briggs formally opened his crusade against gay teachers on the steps of City Hall in San Francisco, filing initiative petitions there before flying to Los Angeles and San Diego to file in those counties. Briggs claimed over 500,000 registered California voters had signed his anti-gay teachers petitions.
And on May 9th, voters of Wichita, Kansas followed the citizens of St. Paul in repealing their city's gay rights ordinance.
Here we are in Wichita, Kansas. We lost
Keith Smith of the Homophile Alliance of Sedgwick County.
We have 47,000 for repeal,
and 10,000 against repeal.
How's the mood in Wichita right now, Keith?
Surprisingly, it's so up. You wouldn't believe it. I think the only people that didn't expect this were the few handful of people that were involved, every day, all day long. This is Wichita, Kansas, and it's real different from St. Paul and Miami because there they had a lot of open gay community. But here in Wichita, no one's ever been able to do that. A year ago, people would say, gays? You know, we don't even have any gays in Wichita. And this year they're saying, not only do we have gays, but we have all these straight organizations who are willing to come out in support of gays, and gays obviously have, a little influence. And so even though it is, a terrible defeat, we don't look at it that way because we've come this far and we're not going to stop now.
On May 23rd, Eugene, Oregon became the third city within 30 days to put its gay rights ordinance to the voters.
The sexual orientation amendment was added in November of 77.
Mary Ann Johnson of the Eugene Citizens for Human Rights.
And the night after it was approved by the city council, the group opposing the amendment, who calls themselves The Voice, began their attempt to put a referendum on the ballot. We're hoping that we're going to win it here. We have a strong coalition made up of groups, both gay and non-gay, from all facets of our community here. And we're working as hard as we can to reverse the national trend and make Eugene a win for gay rights and for the human rights of all people.
We lost in Eugene. When will the ignorance end? When will humankind learn to be friends? Tell me
The setbacks in St. Paul, Wichita, and Eugene did not stop the efforts in California to raise funds to defeat the Briggs Initiative. On June 7th, New Age presented a star-studded evening of entertainment at the Santa Monica Civic Auditorium. There were two shows that night, despite the almost-to-be-expected bomb threat which delayed the start of the second show. The performers donated their services, with folk singer Peter Yarrow of Peter, Paul, and Mary opening the program.
Don't ever take away my freedom. Don't ever take it away. We must cherish and keep that one part of our lives. And the rest we're gonna find one of these days, one of these days.
Also on the bill, Holly Near with Meg Christian and Mary Watkins.
I have dreams. Since first I was my mother's daughter, and you can't just take my dreams away. And now with me watching, you may drive a big machine, but I was born a great big woman, and you can't just take my dreams away without me fighting.
Singer-songwriter Harry Chapin.
There are so many colors in the rainbow, so many colors in the morning sun, so many colors in a flower, and I see everyone.
And the headliner of the evening, Joan Baez.
Finely plucked eyebrows and skin of satin, smiling seductive and endlessly Latin, Olympic body on dancing feet. Perfume thickening the air like heat, a transient star of gay bar fame. You quit your job and change your name, and you're nearly beyond belief as you hunt down a little relief. My favorite couple was looking so fine, dancing in rhythm and laughing in rhyme, to the light of a jukebox all yellow and blue, holding each other as young lovers do. To me they will always remain unshamed, untamed, and unblamed. The altar boy and the thief, grabbing themselves some relief. The altar boy and the thief, catching a little.
You're listening to This Way Out, the international LGBTQ radio magazine, and our 40th anniversary flashback to a queer U.S. November to remember.
November 7th, 1978. After more than a year of campaigning against Proposition 6, lesbians and gay men gathered around television sets and in meeting halls across the state to await the verdict of California's voters. At the victory party held by the Los Angeles Coalition Against the Briggs Initiative, women's and gay rights activist Bernadette Cormier told an enthusiastic crowd,
"There are many organizations working against this initiative statewide. In Los Angeles, of course, we have representatives here tonight from Action Coalition and Lesbians of Color. And those of us here tonight represent far broader numbers of people throughout the state who will be celebrating victory tonight.
I think tonight proves one thing that a lot of us said 15 months ago."
David Mixner speaking in the celebrity-packed ballroom of the Beverly Hilton Hotel.
"Even though things may look dark in this system of government in this country, if you will stand up and you will make yourself heard and you will fight for your rights, you will eventually win your freedom."
Ivy Bettini.
"I want to thank all those lesbian feminists who said to the community, it is time we put away our anger and we work with the men.
John Briggs bet me $100 that he would win tonight."
Reverend Troy Perry.
"He can make the check out to either Metropolitan Community Church or the Gay Community Service."
State Senator John Briggs has just conceded the election.
Concerned California citizens, they're going to firmly demonstrate that they will not tolerate immorality in our California classrooms.
You had to be a teacher, teacher. You had to open up your mouth. You had to be a big shot, teacher. All your friends were so knocked out.
The immorality of homosexuality, overtaxation, crime and pornography are items that must be constantly challenged in Sacramento.
No more gays! No more gays! No more gays!
I want us all to think with a great deal of satisfaction of those children who are ours, who are still struggling, who can now say the words that Martin Luther King said, which meant so much to me. Free at last! Free at last! Thank God I'm ready!
Mark my words, the battle is not over. This is only round one. Round one. Amen? Amen.
As president of the Board of Supervisors, it's my duty to make this announcement.
November 27th, 1978.
Both Mayor Moscone and Supervisor Harvey Milk have been shot and killed.
Oh,
the suspect is Supervisor Dan White.
The motive for the killings was apparently a personal vendetta. This morning, Moscone was to hold a press conference to announce the appointment of a supervisor to fill White's position. White had resigned from the board earlier this month, claiming that the salary was inadequate for him to support his family. Later, he changed his mind and asked to have the position back. Though Moscone had the option to reappoint White, a conservative voice on the board, the mayor had expressed interest in several other candidates. Milk was a political opponent of White's, an outspoken liberal, and the first gay candidate on the board. Harvey Milk was not in favor of reappointing White to his position. For Pacifica in Berkeley, this is Lily Franklin.
San Francisco supervisor and gay rights activist Harvey Milk was elected to the San Francisco Board of Supervisors in 1977. He became the city's first gay supervisor in a city with a substantial vocal gay population. At the time, he said his election would bring hope to minorities and the disenfranchised. Milk said people would say that if a gay could do it, they could do it. But Milk always insisted he was not a one-issue politician.
If I'm fighting for gay rights, then either I'm a hypocrite or I have to fight for the rights of everybody. And once I fight for the rights of everybody, then I have to fight for the spending priorities of everybody, or I'm a hypocrite. And I don't think I'm a hypocrite, and that's why I've been involved in the issues of the district for so long, so hard.
For California Public Radio, this is Rita Schmidt in Sacramento.
Tonight in San Francisco, Harvey Milk has died, so we come together for Christmas.
Holly Meir, Joan Baez, and Meg Christian sang for the thousands who came to San Francisco's Civic Center last night to mourn yesterday's assassinations of City Supervisor Harvey Milk and Mayor George Moscone. Most of them were the constituents of the gay community which Milk represented.
I saw Harvey every other day, walking on the street, doing laundry. We had talked together, exchanged ideas. Almost everybody on this street certainly has seen him and had exchanged words and smiles and hellos with him.
I'm very confused because it's really hard to react to what's going on because it's very solemn, yet underneath I'm very angry because I feel this man had to take one faggot before he got wiped off too, and there was no reason to do it all. And I think that the people are shocked, but I'm afraid walking down this street, and we're afraid too. It's just like walking down in who knows what oven you're going to be walking into. And that's the feeling I have.
I think Harvey Milk did a lot. I used to be really afraid. And it's people like Harvey Milk and other people like that made me realize that I was okay.
I'll tell you what the gay movement's about. After I got elected, I got the phone call I knew I'd eventually get. One was from a 17-year-old child in a small town in Minnesota. And the boy's parents found out he's gay. And they want to put him in an insane asylum. And the gay moon is about the letter I got from Southwest Africa when he read about a gay person getting elected here. And that person has hope. And that 17-year-old kid in Minnesota has hope.
Only 2 days ago, City Hall was the scene of a tragic double assassination. Today it was transformed, filled with potted trees and flowers sweeping up a grand staircase beneath the rotunda. Under their blankets of flowers lay the caskets of Mayor Moscone and Supervisor Harvey Milk, each one with its honor guard of a fireman, policeman, and sheriff's deputy. While City Hall employees watched from the balconies above, members of the public came for a last glimpse of their slain mayor and supervisor. Thousands of people filed past the two caskets, many reaching out to touch and perhaps believe what still leaves many San Franciscans incredulous. There were many eulogies for Mayor Moscone and Supervisor Harvey Milk today, and each one called for hope in the future.
Ann White has been found guilty of one count each of voluntary manslaughter.
Police have arrived at City Hall. They've got riot squad gear on. The police are pushing people off the steps.
The story continues, but you'll find the next exciting chapter at thiswayout.org. Thanks for discovering This Way Out, brought to you by the nonprofit Overnight Productions. The reporters you heard in this week's special 40th anniversary Queer November Remembered included Gary Taylor, Jim Kepner, Mike Manning, Erica Schwartz, Jane Cluey, Lily Franklin, and Rita Schmidt. Thanks also to Helene Rosenbluth, Anita Bryant, Rod McEwen, Mary Watkins, Margie Adam, Blackberry, Peter Yarrow, Holly Neer, Meg Christian, Harry Chapin, Joe Baez, and Billy Joel performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, the Ivana Foundation, the estate of Christopher David Trentum, Richard Merck and Brad Payton of Silicon Valley, and all of the listener donors who make this program possible. You can lend a hand by visiting thiswayout.org. Look for This Way Out Radio on social media and wherever you get your podcasts. Smile at Overnight Productions on Amazon, email tworadio@aol.com, or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For coordinating producer Greg Gordon and everyone at This Way Out, I'm Lucia Chappell. Thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org and on KDNK Aspen in West Glenwood, Colorado, WELT Fort Wayne, Indiana, 3BBB Ballarat, Victoria, and more than 200 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Now y'all stay tuned.